me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards. I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruit. I made me pools of water. I got me servants and maidens. I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also gold, silver and gold, and peculiar treasures of kings of the providence. I get me men singers and women singers, and the lights of the Son of Men, and musical instruments, that of all sorts. So I was great and increased, more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labors, and this was my portion of all my labors. Then I looked on all the works of my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of the spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. Listen to this selfish man when he said, I got me, I built me, I done this, me, 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 me. The steps of a backslidden heart, my friend, is when you forget others around you and live for me. When you start saying, what's in it for me? Y'all gonna help me preach? You see, we must answer the question, is life worth living? If we live a selfish life, if we live a life that's only for us, when we find no other thing that we can do with life but to gather in for me. This man had farms, and he had cattle, and he had gold, he had silver. He had men servants, maid servants. He had orchestras and music. Everything that man strives for, Solomon got for himself. He said, I got it for me. Amen. So what does Solomon do? He said, it's all vanity and vexation of the spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. Then he looked around and he said of himself, I turned myself to behold wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the man do that cometh after the king? Even that which hath been done hath been already done. Amen. I saw that wisdom excelled folly, as far as light excels darkness. And the wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness. And I myself perceived also that one event happened to them all. Then I said in my heart, as it happened to the fool, so it happened even to me. Why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart, this also is vanity. He said, life is not worth living. You see that fool going down the street that doesn't know anything, and here I am a wise man, and I am no better than him. It happened to me as it happened to a fool. Amen. What we are gleaning from Solomon, his years of living for self. He is saying, I'm wise, but yet I'm a fool. And I'm a fool because I spent my life, and what's going to happen to me is going to happen to that fool. We're both going to die and leave it. Are you hearing me? He said, we're both going to die and leave it. Amen. He said, the fool will have nothing to leave but his life. But when I die, I'll leave everything else to somebody else, and he may be a fool. And what will that fool do with my money and my land and my throne? Come on now. Yes. Solomon is saying, if you look at it from that perspective, life is not worth living If you've got to work day and night to get everything you've got and then die and leave it to a fool. Amen. Amen. You see, who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool? Yet shall he have rule over all my labor wherein I have labored, and wherein I have shown myself wiser than thunder. This also is vanity. This, he said, my friend, will happen to me and you. You're working, you're laboring, you're doing everything you can do, and your labor has brought you down till you've got bitter in your soul. You're bitter over the loss of money, bitter over this and bitter over that. Amen. And you're saying and rolling over and pondering in your heart, is it really worth living? Let me tell you, when you live a selfish life, it's not worth living. Jesus said of some men, it would have been better if they'd never been born. So there is a lifestyle that it would be better for you never to have been born than to live like you're living. Is life worth living? Well, not when you live a certain way. Solomon says of time, there's a time for everything. Amen. He gets over in chapter 3 and he said, I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time for every purpose and for every work. I said in my heart concerning the estates of the Son of Man, that God might manifest them, that they might see that they themselves are beasts. For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. Even one thing befalleth them. As the one dies, so dieth the other. Yea, they have all one breath. So that man hath no preeminence above a beast. For all this is vanity. All go into one place. All are of the dust. And all turn to dust again. Who knoweth the spirit of a man that goeth upward, or the spirit of a beast that goeth downward to the earth? Wherefore I perceive there is nothing better that a man should rejoice in his own works, for that is his portion. For who shall bring him to see what shall be after him? Solomon said, death is certain. You're no better than a beast. You'll die. You cannot, because you are rich, you cannot, because you possess, put off death. Death will come. As it comes to a beast, so will it come to man. Both of them are made of dust, and to dust they go back. And we look at it and you said, boy, what a horrid opinion of life. You'd think that this man who had everything going for him would have had a better opinion of life. But he doesn't. Why? Because his heart had got out of touch with God. And because his heart got out of touch, the world around him become black. And any time you live for yourself, my friend, you'll end up with a black, dark opinion of life. Amen. Oh, I hope the God of heaven helps me tonight. I'm a trying to get to you, weary pilgrim. I'm a trying to tell you something. You're wrestling thoughts. You're wrestling with an enemy that you can't get your hands on. Your wife or your husband can't help you. Your friend can't help you. Nobody can help you, because the wrestling match is going on inside. And the devil is pulling every trick he can get. He's making you see the darkest aspects of living. But I want to ask you, is life worth living? The answer, my friend, is not found in the life of Solomon. The answer is found right here in God's Word. Amen. This Bible does not lie. This Bible cannot err. And when Solomon gets through adding up his life, amen, you will see, as I see, that though he calls all things vanity, though he says this, that the span of life, amen, he starts out again telling them, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. You'll get to the day when life has beat you and battered you down till you say, I don't have any pleasure. You'll whip out your checking account and have thousands in it. Hey man, lay that checkbook down and said, there's no pleasure in being able to buy. Look, I got my walls covered with things now. Look, I got more clothes than I can wear. I got better automobiles than I can drive. Hey man, there's no pleasure in getting. I've already got. Amen. There's no pleasure in this. That's all vanity. Amen. That's right. So he goes back and tells these young people, remember God. Don't start out your life without God. Don't leave God out of your plans. Don't leave God out of your future. Don't leave God out of your thoughts. Get a hold of God and live for God. Oh, sweet Jesus, help me. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Vanities of vanity, saith the preacher, all is vanity. And you get down to the concluding remarks of Solomon, and he says of all of his life, of all of the things that he's done, it is nothing but meaningless. 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 Has owning another house made you happy? Has buying a new thing brought you happiness? Having more friends than you've ever had before brought you happiness? Being secure financially brought you happiness? No, my friend. All that you have to do to end up unhappy is leave God out. Leave God out. Amen. Leave God out. There's a preacher came to me and said, I want you to preach my funeral. I want you to preach it, and this is the text I want you to preach. He said, I want you to preach this. No matter what happens in that funeral, when they turn it over to you, I want you to preach my funeral, and I want you to use this text. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Solomon's confession of a backslidden preacher's heart. You'll not find pleasure in the world. You'll not find happiness in money. You'll not find happiness in possessions. For a man's life does not consist of the abundance of things which he possesses. Help me preach. Amen. That's right. You'll find it's not in wine. It's not in drugs. Amen. It's not in another joint. You'll find out, my friend, that royal pearl and sitting on a throne does not make one happy. Then is life worth living? Yes. Abundantly. Yes. But for having a life that's worth living, you must first learn how to surrender that life to the will of God. Amen. You'll not be happy living for yourself. You'll not be happy being stingy and self-centered. You'll not be happy sitting on a nest egg all for yourself. You're the happiest person there is when you have submitted your life and given your life completely over to God. And by that submission to God and that giving of life to God, you'll find out it is more blessed. It is more blessed. It is more blessed. Happier is the man who gives than he that receives. God loves a cheerful giver. One that has mastered money. Amen, Brother Benny. That's pretty good preaching. I need to pat myself on the back and encourage myself. But I'm telling you something. If you're not careful, you will be hooked and crooked into a dark corner. You'll get so despondent with life that you'll begin to try to figure out how to get out of it. How to get out of it. Men have become so despondent with life driving down the road, the enemy get in the seat beside them and say, just run her into that bridge abutment. They'll think that you just had a wreck and nobody will know. Nobody but God. Nobody but God. Hear the conclusion of the whole matter. God shall bring every work to judgment, whether it be good or evil. Come on now. Are you hearing me? You may think that you've got the all figured out, that nobody will know. There is somebody who does know. There's somebody that knows why you're unhappy tonight. There's somebody that knows why you're inching back away from God. There's somebody that knows why you're not praying like you should pray. There's somebody that knows what you've got hid in your heart. That bitterness that's there, that's keeping you from being happy. Oh, sweet God, help me preach. Struggling somewhere in this congregation tonight is a soul being bombarded with thoughts. Is life worth living? Is life worth living? The enemy has got you now to where you're so despondent that you don't think that you're worth anything to anybody. And you're not. When you live a selfish life, when you look at yourself and you say, I am more important than anybody I know. Well, you don't come right out and say that. That's just a little bit too bold, isn't it? We would say you're an egotistical so-and-so if you talk like that. But remember the man who had the barns that had increased? He never one time talked out loud. He communed with his soul. And he said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do, my soul. Eat, drink, and take your ease. You've got much laid up in store now. Just have a good time. He never said it out loud. Amen. And neither are you talking out loud. But there are in this congregation tonight people who have her already in reverse and are inching away from God. And the further you get away from God, the darker the world looks. Until you're going to come to the place you'll be so despondent with life itself that you'll say, is life worth living? And I want to tell you, if you live for yourself only, mark her down, no. It'll be better that you've never been born than to live a selfish, self-centered life. Is life worth living? Yes. Let Jesus into your heart and learn to live like Jesus, who came to give his life and whose preaching said this: if a man seeks to save his life, he will surely lose it. Amen. He said anybody who lives for themselves will lose life. But he said, I've come to give you life and it more abundantly. Amen. Amen. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. There's some folks that's handicapped that's got better attitudes than folks, amen, set in holiness churches. Amen. You know the reason why we get such bad attitudes is because we feel like life's leaving us out. We don't have a good job, but we've got good health. Amen. We don't make enough money, but we've got a wife and children that love us. Amen. We don't live in a house like other folks live. We just don't seem to be making it financially. My friend, that's not what life is. Life is not things. Life is very much a part of this world. You must live, yes, but how you live determines whether you'll live or not. Life is giving. Jesus said, I've come to give my life a ransom for many. Amen. And he said of us, brethren, he that will be the greatest among you, let him get rich. Let him become a millionaire. No, he said, he that will be the greatest among you, let him bow down. Amen. And be the servant of all. Bow down. Get the load of others and give yourself to the load. Working for God. Working for people around you. Amen. We've got nursing homes. Amen. Just full of folks that are sick and need somebody to come see them. And we sit at home saying, there ain't nobody wants me. Nobody loves me. Amen. Just the other day, we went up there to see Patricia. And it'd been the last time we was up there, she didn't want to see us. She acted terrible. I mean, she threw a genuine Miles fit. I mean, she acted plumb terrible. Amen. But time had elapsed. And this time when we went, her mental attitude was a little bit different. Amen. And when Janie walked in that door and she focused in on Janie, her mouth came open. She got excited as a little kid who had saw her mama, hadn't saw her mama for months. Amen. I mean, the whole thing was different. Why? Because life was ebbing out and life was falling apart. And she knew, if there's anybody that loves me, it's going to be somebody who has God. Come on and help me preach. There's folks that would love to love you. They just don't know you yet. And they'll never know you as long as you sit in the side of that house. Amen. And you don't do nothing for nobody. You're not living. You're just existing. Amen. You may be making more than you can spend, but you're still just existing. Amen. You need to find something to do. If you're down and you're blue, look for something to do. Amen. Go out and find somebody that's not as good as you are and give them part of what you've got. Amen. Take them back home with you. Find somebody like that's the same size or wear the same size shoes. Amen. You do. Go home and pull your closet door open and said, here, have half of what I've got. Yes. Amen. Find out you'll be happier with half, knowing that you can live without the other half. Yes. Knowing that you're not held down by material things. Knowing that you've got victory over material things. Knowing that you can live, hallelujah, and be free. Yes. Is life worth living? Yes. When you live it sacrificially. Amen. If you don't do it for God, somebody will come along with the old proverbial knife, and somehow God will put it in their hand, and they'll come up to that little bag you've got, and he'll cut the bottom out of it. And you'll pour it in the top, and it'll run out the bottom. Amen. You'll pour it in here, and it'll go out there. Because if you don't give it, God will get it. Amen. Come on now. You know it to be the truth. Amen. Amen. We need to learn how to live like Jesus lived. Hallelujah. Somebody said the other day, well, preacher, you sure are doing good preaching. And they pointed at the white car sitting over there. And I said, yeah, that's not bad. You want one of the statements to make a payment on living good? You want one of them coupons to go down to the bank and pay one of these payments, help me live good? No, nobody wants to take a burden like that and make you live good. They just look at you and say, ah, look, you've got it made. You've got it made. You preachers have all got it made. Yeah, yeah, that's true. We've got it made. And the reason we've got it made is because we usually lay it out. Amen. Lay it out. It's nothing, amen. And I'm not bragging. I don't want to brag. I never want to brag. It's nothing to give. Thank God I mastered that a long time ago. It's nothing to give. I've gave thousands away. Amen. Thousands and thousands away. I've gave thousands of dollars away to books to young preachers saying, here, read this. This will get you started. This will help you. I've rolled them out, amen, by the carloads and gave them away because I didn't want to ever get to the place where everything had to be coming my way. Help me preach. You're sad, amen. You're sad and you're blue and despondent when everything's got to come your way. Oh, great God. Is life worth living? Yes! Yes! 1,000 times yes. Life is worth living if you'll live it for God. Amen. They tried to throw all of us into a tailspin the other day. And they'd done a lot of men. The first thing they started talking about was, you read that they said that when you get to 2,000 and something, there'll be no Social Security? Well, that's scary, isn't it? No Social Security for me. But then I look back, and half of my grandparents, my great-greats, never heard of Social Security. They lived off of chickens and cows and, amen, hogs and carrots and turnips and taters, amen, and corn, and never once said to the government, support me. Was they any less happy? No, sir. They were just as happy as anybody else because they were free. Amen. The reason America is such an unhappy state is because we're so dependent on our big brother. And we're saying, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. We don't need a give me. We need to turn it around and say, I'll give. Jesus is looking for people to make happy that will give. What a wonderful thing it would be for this church if I had some folks who would give themselves to prayer. Unselfishly give themselves to prayer. You talk about a reason to live. Amen. You talk about a reason for living is when you get a burden for somebody and you see that you're between them and God, and your heart being poured out can make the difference. Amen. Amen. Anybody out there got an old amen you can hang up here? Amen. Hallelujah. Some of the greatest things that ever could bless a man is to know that he has prayed for somebody and God has helped them. Jesus had joy in this life. And he said, I'm going to give you my joy. And that my joy may be in you and be full. Well, what was that? I've heard that some of them prosperity preachers talk about Jesus was a rich man. He had new clothes, the fashion clothes of that day. If he had been in this day, he had drove a Mercedes Benz and wore $500 suits. Amen. And I guess had gold decked all over him, everything else, if he goes like some of those guys. Amen. But no, that's not the way Jesus lived. Jesus did not live for himself. Amen. Come on. Amen. In fact, he said to his disciples, don't worry about the bag. Don't worry about giving to the poor. You've got the poor with you always. You can do it any day you want to. You can hand it out any time you want to. Amen. Don't let money get a hold of you. Amen. Don't let riches get to be, it's a snare to your soul. Don't live to where they're a prisoner of the things that you possess. I love my dad. Sometimes I think I love him more than he loves me. But I love my dad. My dad used to go. He used just to go. He was gone almost all the time. He'd come in one night after going and found his house had been broken into. Some of his guns stolen. He got so bitter over that that he laid at the house with the lights out, with a loaded pistol waiting on them to come back and get the rest of the stuff. And if you knew Benny Sutherland like I knew Benny Sutherland, I wouldn't have walked down that block. I wouldn't have knocked on his door. I know what kind of man he is. Amen. But now he don't lay in the floor with the lights off. He just don't go nowhere. He's become a prisoner of his own home. You know why? Afraid to leave. Afraid somebody will get some of the stuff. A prisoner of his own home. And there's people who have become prisoners of their stuff. We'd be better off to throw that stuff in the river and live. than to be a prisoner of stuff. We'd be better off to burn her down so we could walk a free man and be happy than to become a prisoner of things. Amen. Great God of heaven, I'm trying to reach you tonight. Is life worth living? Yes! As Brother Joe Bill says, yes! That's it, Brother Joe Bill. Yes! Listen to me. Before you do something you'll regret, life is worth living. Don't let the devil paint you a black, dormant picture. Life is worth living. Amen. Get over on the good column and do good works. Get over on the good column and love with that heart. Get over on the good column, amen. If you can't find nothing, find you some toe-headed boy that don't have anything. If you want to be happy this Christmas, go out and buy presents for those who can't buy you a thing. Amen. And don't even sign your name. And don't even let them know you've done it. Amen. And when you have done what you've done, your Father which seeth in secret shall reward you openly with what? Life! With life! Quit living for yourself and live for somebody else. Get out of that little coop, amen, and walk abroad and see the misery, see the suffering, see the broken hearts. Hear the children cry. Come on out of that, and you'll find reason after reason to live. To live. Amen. Glory be to God. Woo! I hope I'm not preaching as bad as you look. Well, as I was a doctor, I'd have to get my pill bottle out and say, you need something right here. Woo! But it's right. It's right. Little girls no bigger than anything, brokenhearted because some boy don't think they're cute. Forget him. You'll meet him after a while. He'll trip over himself to get to you. He'll find you. He'll find you. He'll find you. She'll find you. I don't care if your teeth are bucked, amen, and your eyes are crossed. There'll be somebody said, that's cute. I like buck teeth, crossed eyes. That's right. You just live for God. Live, man! Live for God! Live for God! Give everything you've got to God! Go after God! Forget everything else! Put your mind and your heart on God! God will not withhold anything good from them that walk upright! Amen. Give yourself to God and God will make you happy. Amen. Amen. Read that fifth chapter of Matthew. Every time you read the word blessed, that word is translated happy. Amen. And Jesus said to those men who was willing to get down and wash feet, he said, happy are ye if you'll do these things. Me wore stinking feet? Not me. Yeah, that's why you're not happy. Get on down and live, man. Get on down and live. Hallelujah. I used to love to wash the men's feet. Hell, oh, yes, yes, yes. Brother Henson, we used to try to hold them down. Amen. He'd start out, we'd try to hold that foot down. Yes, God, you couldn't hold that foot down. He'd kick pan over. Amen. He'd kick pan over, clear up in your face, and there you was trying to wash feet, and he's a kicking and a hollering and going on. Anybody you know in a suit you just got cleaned? Amen. There you are down there, wet all over. Why? Did you get up mad? No, I got up happy. Yeah. Happy. Yeah. Happy. Yeah. Why? Because, woo! Glory to God, just one. Woo! Was the payment for all the water. Just to see the Spirit of God on somebody. Just to feel it flood your soul. One time, woo! Amen, makes happy. When's the last time you got close enough to the Lord for the woo to get a hold of you? Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Live. Live. Don't sit there on that pew and die. Live. Don't sit there unhappy. Live. Find something to do. Pray for me. You'll be happy if you do that. Happy if I preach 45 minutes instead of an hour. I know it'll make you happy. Especially if I get down to 30 minutes, you'll really be shouting happy. Amen. You're going to have to pray hard, though. That ain't going to come easy. But you can pray about it if you want to. Amen. If it make you happy, pray about it. But just don't sit there in despondent spirits thinking the whole world is wrong. Get like Solomon. Get to the conclusion of the matter and say, keep God's commandments. Keep God's commandments. You'll be happy keeping God's commandments. You'll be happy serving God. You'll be happy living for God. You'll be happy knowing God. You'll be happy no matter where you're at. If God's there, you'll be happy being there. Amen. Amen. That's right. Some of the happiest recollections of Christmas was not when there was plenty under the tree. Some of the happiest times was when we sat down, took our little old scissors, cut up newspapers, took flour and water and made paste, and sat there on the floor, pasted little circles together to make chains to put on the Christmas tree. Amen. Happy. Did you have anything out of the tree? No. What else did you do? Well, we got us a long piece of string and we popped popcorn out of the field. Amen. And we sat there for a little old needle and run it through those threads and beads of popcorn and made our little Christmas tree what it was. Just a little toe-headed boy. Now the kids ask me, what do you want for Christmas? I said, it don't matter to me. And they say, thanks a lot. But it really don't. It don't matter now. Then it was a matter of happiness. Just looking around. Just looking around. There wasn't nobody there but me and Mom and Sue. Oh, that was very bleak days. No daddy. Troubled. Heart full of hurt. Just to sit down and do something with somebody and hear them smile and not cry. I've laid there in the bed as a little boy and patted Mama on the arm as she laid there and cried over what the world had done and the mistakes that she had made. Oh, it was hard to keep bitterness out of my heart for the man who made Mama cry. So when there was a time when we could sit down and nobody was crying and everybody was smiling and we were doing something good, it's happy memory. Not the presence. The time when I was happy. Can you remember that time when you was happy? Happy sounds is when you pulled the string that run from the center light in the center of the room over across to the bedpost and down the bedpost and turn light switches off with the string. And you turn the lights off in about 10 minutes. You got serenaded. You heard the little... And then you heard the little crunching and the sacrifice of the popcorn going up to the little mice. Amen. Happy. Happy. Oh, been times in my life, Mitchell, when I'd gave everything I had to go back to a happy time. Just to go back to a happy time. But since I can't turn the clock back, I find happiness now in helping others, in doing for others, in trying to be there when they're hurting, because I know how it feels to hurt, to be there when they're alone, because I know how it feels to be alone, to be there when folks look down on them and say, you're not as good as me. I can say, with all deep respect, you're as good as anybody. Don't let that make you unhappy.
because you don't have the clothes to wear that others do, or you don't live on the hill like others do. Be happy, man. Be happy. Serve Jesus. Give your life to serving, and you'll be happy. Amen. Well, I've tried to preach you out from where you're at and where you're headed. I hope I've got in front of the devil. I hope you've heard me. I want to tell you something tonight. From the depths of my heart, you hear me. I'm speaking as I'm anointed of the Holy Ghost. God loves you. God loves you. That's the reason to live. Nobody else has to love you. But if you'll just love Him back, you'll have enough to live for. God loves you. You'll never know how much God loves you, but He does. He loves you and longs for you. And you're going away from Him. If I could talk for God tonight, you'll not find happiness in the way you're going. If you'll just come on back and give that life to God and say to God, I was happier when I was serving you. When I prayed good, when I sung, when I went to church, when I didn't miss so much, I was so much happier. Just come back up here and get down before God and say, oh God, I'm not happy. I'm not happy, and I know why I'm not happy, because I'm not serving you with all my heart. I'm keeping one eye on the door, and I'm edging towards it. You won't like it when you get out. You won't like it when you leave God. Nobody has. Ask any backslider. Nobody's liked it when they've got away from God. Nobody's been happy out there. And you won't be the exception. Live, man. Live, woman. Come to God tonight and live. Oh, I feel the precious Holy Ghost. I wish I could just tell you, don't go the way you're going. Come on, come on. God loves you. He don't want you like you are. You've let the devil paint you a black picture, but God didn't paint that picture. God didn't paint that picture. That's not got God's brush strokes on it. God don't paint no sun going down at noon. You've got time to live. Live, man. Hallelujah. Give your heart back to God. Come back up here and say, Lord, I've been selfish. I've got more than most folks got. I got good health. I got good sense. Surely there's somebody I can help if I've got good health and good sense. Surely there's somebody I can visit that's less fortunate than me. If you ever get a chance to read the book, read that book, Twice Born Men. When you're thumbing through the index, look for just the initials, OBD. OBD, that was his nickname, OBD. His name was Old Born Drunk. His mama was a bad woman. She was an alcoholic. He was born with enough alcohol in his system that he was drunk as a baby, born brought into the world. Did that stop her? No, she'd take him back to the tavern, and when he would cry, she'd stick her finger down in her drink and put it in his mouth and keep him drunk. He was raised old born drunk, spent his life in the tavern just like his mama. But then one day he heard a preacher preach, an old born drunk got really saved. He didn't know no better. He went back to the tavern and started telling those guys he was born drunk, and this old born drunk got saved, and they'd set the beer out in front of him and he'd turn it down, they'd pour it over his head, and he'd just love them on. He lived such a good life that when he died, they line blocks back to pass by the casket of old born drunk. If anybody had a reason to be down on life, old born drunk did. But he got saved and he turned his life over to God and he became a witness for God. And when he died, there was a long line, more than anybody in that whole town had ever had at a funeral. Old born drunk got, everybody came to his funeral because they all loved him. Live, man. Live. Don't look at your past. Look at your future. Live, man. Live. You can turn it around. You can get happy again. But you'll not get happy going backward. You've got to come back to God. Is life worth living? Oh, yes. Oh, Lord, I see that. I feel the precious Holy Ghost dealing with your heart tonight. I'm telling you tonight, if you'll come, you can get happy. You can be happy. I'm through preaching. I'm through. I can't do any more than what I've done. Come on, Brother Bill, and sing for us. Come on, sing for us. I want you to bow your heads with me. Father, somewhere in this house tonight, it is a heart that's so heavy. I ask you, Father, as humbly as I know how, please, Lord, tonight, let them know how much you love them. I can tell them and it won't really matter. But if you tell them, Lord, if you whisper now into their heart, tell them how much you love them. Tell them how much you can give them life and it more abundantly if they will just turn around and come back to you. I believe you will, Lord. I really believe you will. In the foolishness of preaching, there is still power in the gospel. Father, would you reach the hearts tonight that are here and touch the lives and change them? We can, oh God. But you can, and in a moment of time, you can do it. Do it for us because we're so weak. Our hands are so short that we can't reach. We don't have the words to set a heart free, but you do. Would you please speak, God? And we'd be so appreciative of it. If you'll just help us now, Lord. We'll love you for it. We already love you, but we love you more, Lord, if it's possible, if you just help us. In your precious and holy name, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Would you just slip your hand up and say, preacher, that's me. I need that help. God bless you, sister. Is there any other hand? Come on. God bless you, brother. I love you. God bless you. Anyone else? God bless you, sis. I know this message is from the Holy Ghost. I know it is. I know it is. God wanted to help somebody here tonight. Any other hands? God seen those. He recognizes them. Is there another anywhere? We're not going to tarry. God bless your heart. I love you. God loves you. Anyone else? All right, Brother Bill. Let's stand. If you need help, you just come up here and pray. The God of heaven will meet with you and help you. Now don't tarry. Don't let the devil keep you from doing it. Step out and come right now. Bow down here. Brother Sutherland don't have to pray for you to get help. Jesus is here himself tonight to help you. Come on. This altar's open. This altar's open. You want to come and pray? Sang Brother Bill.